In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Woman, how does your concern affect me? Wow. Imagine saying that to your mom. Heck, imagine me saying that to my mom. Sends shivers down my spine. I think of things like eternal time out or the dreaded grounded for life. But our modern ears betray us, because our Lord intended and did not show any disrespect towards his mother. And there are translation problems with this line. What it really says is, how does this concern affect you and me? After all, Jesus and Mary were guests at the wedding. It was not their responsibility to make sure there was enough wine. That was the responsibility of the bridegroom. Also, whenever there's a problematic line in sacred scripture, it's always good to look at what came before and what comes immediately after. What did Jesus say? He says, my hour has not yet come. What is Jesus' hour? It is his suffering, death, and resurrection, by which he saves us and defeats the world, the flesh, and the devil, and death itself. By working a sign or a miracle, he would be proclaiming his divine nature to the world, and he would be beginning his journey to Jerusalem to suffer and die for you and for me. It's also interesting to note that the Old Testament prophets, when talk about the coming of the Messiah, they would liken it to a wedding feast. A great banquet with choice wine and choice food. We even find that in the book of Revelation, where heaven itself is referred to as the wedding feast of the Lamb, the wedding between Jesus and his church. Now, Mary obviously doesn't take any offense at what Jesus says either. She says, do whatever he tells you to the waiters. This, by the way, is the best advice that anyone has ever given. Do whatever Jesus tells you to do. If you follow that advice, you're going to be a saint. You might even get a statue in a church or a stained glass window or your very own holy cards with your smiling face on it. Do whatever he tells you. And what did Jesus tell the waitstaff to do? To fill the water jars which were used for the ceremonial washings of the law of Moses, so that the people could wash their hands and be clean, so that they could eat and drink freely. Fill them with water, 180 odd gallons of water. And they're turned into really good wine. Reminds me of a very old joke. What did the disciples sing after the wedding at Cana? Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. It also shows that this is a Catholic wedding. Lots of good wine. Reminds me of the best wedding I've ever been to, which was down in Carbon County, and it was a Mexican-Greek-Italian wedding. You have no idea. Over 20 years, and is still engraved in my memory. The water was to be used for the law of Moses, and yet by Jesus changing it into wine, he prefigures his great work of perfecting the law of Moses, of lifting it up, of deepening it so it applies to all people, and so that it brings salvation. Also, Jesus doing this at a wedding feast takes the natural human reality of marriage and lifts it up to the state of a sacrament. Marriage is written within our human nature by God Himself, as Jesus says elsewhere. Its permanence, its exclusivity, the fact that it is ordered to procreation, and that it is between solely one man and one woman. This is the natural nature of marriage. And Jesus takes this natural thing, just as He took water and turned it into wine, He takes natural marriage and lifts it to the dignity of a sacrament so that it brings His life into ours, so that the husband and wife can be an image of the love which exists between Christ and His church. Jesus did this as the beginning of His signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed His glory, and His disciples began to believe in Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.